above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil.
Please pray with me. Our most precious Heavenly Father, as we open up your word, we pray that our hearts and minds and our spirits would be just as opened. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. May I preach your scripture with truth and with clarity. And we invite your spirit to change us, mold us, and help us to resemble you, not just externally, but more importantly, internally. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If I were to ask you how much weight the average American puts on from Thanksgiving until New Year's Day, you would say what? I hear 7. I hear 10. 15? That's a bad holiday season for you. Well, I did a little research on that, and most would guess 5 to 10 pounds. But in all actuality, people put on 1 to 2 pounds. So, good for us. But during the Advent season and during these holidays, it's important that we take care of ourselves physically, that we take care of our hearts. And the Bible has a lot to say about hearts. The Hebrew term for heart in the Old Testament is lev or levav. And when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's a little bit different than when we think of the term heart. The heart in the Bible is the center of emotional, intellectual, moral activity. It's, in essence, your inner man. We still think in terms of that. We use the phrase, they're all heart. When you and I say something like that, we know that they're not one giant organ. We know that they're not a giant heart. What we're essentially saying is, everything about this person, their will, their emotion, their desires, it kind of encapsulates everything. They have a lot of heart. The Bible talks many times of this in the Old Testament and in the New. Here's a very famous Bible verse. When Samuel is about to anoint King David, he's going through the list of potential kings. And the last person he goes to anoint is David. And here's what the Bible says. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's a very famous passage of Scripture, but this is just to share with you the idea, the concept, that when the Bible speaks of heart, it doesn't always just mean an organ beating in your chest. It's a much grander concept. So this morning, I want to share with you the importance of taking care of your heart this Advent season. So if you have your Bibles open, I would encourage you to look back at the 4th chapter of Proverbs, verse 23. Remember that the author of Proverbs is sort of like a father. So read this with that concept, with that in your mind's eye. This is a good parent stooping down on their knee, giving important advice to their children. And he says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Maybe it's the first day of school, and mom and dad just want to give a really important piece of advice to their child as they go off to the bus. And he distills it to this sentence, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." I think we can all associate with this kind of advice. But when you go to the Hebrew, there's something that's missing here in the English. The Hebrew is really emphatic. It almost reads like this: keep with all keeping, or keep, keep. That's how the original audience would read this. And the point is he's really emphasizing that you need to keep or guard this thing called your heart. It's almost setting double guards. I don't know if you've ever worked in a bank or if you have a safe in your house. Safes are meant to be safe. The things that are inside are valuable. So you put locks on them, codes, you use keys, because you don't want just anyone getting into that vault or allowing anything into that safe. And here the author of Proverbs is saying that we have valuable stuff inside of our hearts, so that we must guard them. We must keep them. It's actually pretty violent when you think of it. It's not just a sleepy disposition. Hey, just put a chair up in front of your heart and kind of just doze off. That's not what's going on here. There's no neutrality. He's saying you're at war, so stand guard. If you have children today, I think more than ever, this verse is important. With the advent of the internet, with these things called cell phones that we're giving our children, they have the world at their fingertips. Whatever it would take us years to see or understand, they have it in an instant. And in all actuality, their minds probably are not even ready for these things. So as parents, as grandparents, as people that love children, it's important that we think of these things. We have to stand guard of not only our own hearts, but in that case, you're standing guard over the hearts of your children. The reformer William Flavel wrote like 85 pages on this one verse. And he said something very interesting when talking about the violent position that we have to guard our hearts. He said, your heart is sort of like a stringed instrument. He said, you can take that instrument, let's say it's a guitar, and you can take it and you can tune it to where it's perfect. And he said, all you have to do is take that guitar and put it on the wall. And you can go to that guitar that was one time stringed perfectly, and a day, a week, a month, a year, whenever you go back to it, you need to retune it. He said, that's like our hearts. That's why this is so important, to never just give up. That's why it's so important to guard our hearts. Now, that's if nobody bumps into the stringed instrument. But we all know that that stringed instrument is probably going to get banged up a little bit. Then for sure it's out of tune, just like us. It's easy to sit here and be in tune with the Lord. We're in church, we're singing the songs, we're listening to the sermon. But when we walk out of the doors and someone cuts us off, or when your kids are driving up the wall, we're getting banged into a lot. We're getting put out of tune. Now you see the importance of protecting our hearts. We must stand guard. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I believe in something called spiritual gravity, friends. And spiritual gravity just means no matter who you hang out with, over time, if it's the wrong crowd, they'll drag you down. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. No matter what you think, when you first start hanging out with that group, no matter how strong you are, no matter how proud you are, the more you hang around with the wrong people, spiritual gravity will settle in. And slowly but surely, they'll pull you down. The good news of spiritual gravity is the opposite is true too. If you hang around people that love Jesus and are good folks and have good morals, they'll bring you up. So spiritual gravity is real. The question is, are you guarding your heart? Are you guarding your heart? Are you taking the time to think about the things that you're letting into your life, the friends you're hanging around with? That's all part of guarding your hearts. Now, let's not get confused. A lot of times we think of behaviors and actions only, but guarding the heart is about what's going on inside of us. And they got that confused in Jesus' day. We get that confused today. In fact, in the 15th chapter of Matthew, we read this. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." And Jesus then calls the crowd to him and says, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth is what makes him unclean." And Peter says, "Tell us more, explain this to us." And Jesus said, "Are you so dull?" Apparently, Jesus never read How to Win Friends and Influence People. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. These are the things that make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make someone unclean." Wow, that's pretty heavy. Jesus is saying it's not the external stuff that's going on. It's the internal stuff. It's what's going on in here. Because what goes on out here first starts right here. So, taking care of our hearts, as we can see, is very important. We have to stand guard. So we have to be alert to what goes in our hearts. Now, a lot of times we think this is just to keep the bad stuff out. But you know what? That's for next week. That's for part two of this. I think more importantly, it's to allow the good stuff in. It's to allow the good stuff in. If you would go ahead and read the rest of Proverbs, you're going to see he instructs his son to pursue wisdom, to pursue grace, to pursue discipline and life. All of those things are positive and good and right. And he starts there. He doesn't say, get everything out of your life. He's saying, stand guard so you can allow first and foremost the good stuff in. And if you're not standing guard, you're not going to know the difference because you're allowing everything in. And then you'll have no room for the good. So the first part about standing guard is not about saying no. It's actually about saying yes. It's about saying yes to all the good stuff. It's about saying yes to prayer, to church, to surrounding myself with good people. It's about saying yes so that we can say no to the bad stuff. See, guarding your heart is about feeding your soul. Listen how Paul puts this in Ephesians chapter 5. He says this, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, and do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. But all things become visible when they are exposed by light, for everything that becomes visible is sight. So he says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here, Paul is basically paralleling what the author of Proverbs is saying. He's saying, walk as wise men. Be careful. Don't let everything into your life just because it's there. You have to stand guard. So coronary care is not just about eliminating all the bad stuff. It's allowing the good stuff into your life. So you and I must make a decision of what that good stuff is. Some of us walk around and we can't understand why all this bad stuff happens to us. A lot of times, it's because we allow the bad stuff into our lives to begin with. So you must make a decision first to stand guard, to violently oppose the things that want to enter your life, so that you may allow the good stuff in. Now, as we conclude, I'm just going to read to you from Luke. It is Advent, so you're familiar. You're very familiar with this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord, he's with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting might this be? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary said to the angel, "How would this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For no word from God will ever fail." There's nothing in particular in this passage that I want to point out in terms of words or what was said. But I just need you to think about that in all of human history, one young girl, Mary, who was a virgin, was chosen to give birth to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, and this is purely gesture, but I'd probably bet the house on it. I would bet you that she was the kind of person that guarded her heart. I would bet you that she was the kind of person that said no to things to allow the good stuff in. Because I don't think God would send the angel to Mary if she wasn't that kind of person. And how do we know that? Mary's response was this: "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Mary already had a heart that was guarded. Mary already had a heart that was prepared. Why? Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Amen? Amen. Now, as we conclude our service,